Okay, thanks again for being here. We continue. It's November 1st, somewhere mid-Cheshvan. tomorrow night's the last night for Kesher Levana, or Friday night. Anyway, I'd like to continue in Perek Eilu Metzius, and we'll talk a little bit more about the sugya of Yiyush Shelo Midas. I don't want to sit on it for too long, but a lot of fascinating points to bring up here, and they connect to other things in the Perek. So, last week, we spoke about this concept that once you've picked up the item, the lost object, once the finder has picked it up, it's too late. Subsequent yish does not work. That's clear in the Gemara, top of Chafal from Beis. And we spoke a little bit about why that is. And everybody talks about the difference of opinion between Tosfos and the Ramban. Tosfos explains in the Gemara, says, Be'isura hu da'asal yoda, it came to his hand in Isser. That what that means is once he has a mitzvah to return it, it's too late. Yish doesn't work. I'm walking down the street, found something, I pick it up. Now I have a mitzvah to return that object. So even if the owner subsequently is miyayish, he gives up, it's too late. Either the mitzvah to return it blocks the yish from taking effect, or it blocks me from taking advantage of the effect. There are different ways of explaining it. I don't want to get too much into that now. But once you've picked up the object, it's too late. And the Tosfos says that's because you have a mitzvah to return it. And we spoke about last week, according to Tosfos, that phrase has the same meaning whether you're talking about a... we're holding in the whole parak, so wherever you turn to is fine. Chafalaf and Beis. Whether you're talking about a stolen object or a lost object, it's the same thing. The Gemara uses the same phrase in Bava Kamma, Daf Samach Vav, and says, "Be'isura hu da'as liyada," came to his hand in prohibition. So there you have a mitzvah to return the object you stole. Here you have a mitzvah to return the object you found. It means the same thing in both instances. Because you have a mitzvah to return it, subsequent yish does not take effect. And we mentioned last time that the Ramban understands it differently. I just want to talk about Tosfos just for another moment, and this would be a way to introduce a way of thinking about the next line in the Gemara. So we're gathered here today to talk about Abaye and Rava. Abaye and Rava have a machlokas about Yiyush Shelo Midas, right? When the guy will discover that he lost his thing, he will be miyayish, but he doesn't know yet. He hasn't noticed that he dropped it yet. That's Yiyush Shelo Midas. Rava says it's valid Yiyush. Abaye says it is not. And it happens to be paskin like Abaye after a blot and a half of back and forth. That is one of the instances where he paskin like Abaye. So there's a very nice sefer that was not available if we had this shiur a few years ago, but the Rishima Shiurim, the Shiurim of Rav Soloveitchik, were put out, big, wide volume on Bav Metzia, including his Shiurim on this parak at length, from Shiurim he gave in 1969, put out mostly by Nechemia Reichman, son of Rabbi Heshi Reichman, did a great job on it, and I was very excited to see that when I discovered it, I don't know, a year or so ago. So we have Rav Soloveitchik's Shiurim written up on this parak, and Rav Soloveitchik introduced Yiyush Shelo Midas and the Machlokas Abaye and Rava in the following way. He said, you could think about it in three different ways. I have two ingredients that make an Aveda permissible. The fact that it's lost, and the fact that the owner was miyayish, he gave up. And we have this machlokas Abaye and Rava, whether the fact that there'll be yish later makes it take effect or be valid now. So he said as follows. One way to understand it would be, yish is what makes the Aveda yours. It belonged to someone else. It's not so easy in halacha to get something that belongs to you to come to belong to me. You need a process. You need a mechanism. One way to understand it is, yish is really the mechanism. So Rashi says Yish works like Hefker. Tosus and Bava Kamma says it can't literally be like Hefker because there would be problems with that. That's related to this. But what I want to focus on, what Rav Soloveitchik is talking about, is what role does the Yish play? One way to understand it is Yish is really what does it. And just Rava has this novel opinion that even though the Yish isn't going to happen until later, since it's an assumption, since it can be presumed, it's as if it happens. That would make Rava very novel. Because the process really, Yish is what makes it happen. The Yish hasn't happened yet, so Abaye makes perfect sense. If Yish makes it happen and Yish hasn't happened yet, it's no good. And Rav is saying, no, Rav has a chiddush, even though it's going to happen later, it's as if it happened now, somehow like that. Another way to explain it would be that Abaye and Rav are actually arguing exactly about this point. Is Yish central to the process? Or is Yish like what we would call a Tanai? It's a condition, but it's not really the process. What makes this thing used to be yours, and then I found it and it becomes mine, what makes that happen is the fact that it's lost.
Siba. It's like Siman or Siba, a little bit, that it's Siba. Is Yish the thing that makes it? It's a Siba, and actually makes, you know,
I don't know if I would call it a Siman.
Or is it a sign that the thing is very lost from you?
I don't know if I would go so far as to call it a simon, but maybe a tanai. You know, if you have a number of, I mean, that's I think a step further already. But you know, if you have certain requirements and they have to be done by a certain date, generally in life, if you don't do them by that date, it doesn't work. But if these are the requirements and there's some peripheral condition that just has to be met, then we don't really care so much when that happens. So the way he presents it is, another way to think about it would be, the fact that something is lost, or if you're a brisker, the chalos shame avud, the effect, effectively being called lost. Mm-hmm. I don't know where my thing is. I dropped it. I can't find it anywhere. The fact that something is lost, that's what makes it available for someone else to take possession. There happens to be a side condition that he has to be aware of it. That, you know, he has to have given up, but that's not really the process. The process is that it's lost. So one way to look at it is that is exactly what Abaye and Rav are arguing about. According to Abaye, Yish is the process. Yish is what makes it transfer from the original owner to me, and therefore if Yish hasn't happened yet, it's no good. And Rav says Yish is not so central. What's central is the fact that it's lost. Yish is a Tanai. It's a condition in a lot of places. When you study Gemara, you'll find, is something a part and parcel of the process, or is it just a side condition? If it's a side condition, it has more loose parameters. So when Rav says Yish, Shalomi Das is okay, he's going to be Miyayish later, so it's good enough now. It's because basically Rav plays down the role that Yish plays in the transfer of
so Balas. You ask in the court at 11:15, do you remember were you Miyayish? I mean, I found the night at 11:15 exactly. So the person's what you're going
to
ask him.
Well, if I can't assume there was Yish when I found it, then I'm not allowed to keep it.
Oh, yeah.
But so Rav will say that. But if it's the kind of thing where there'll be an assumption of Yish later, that's good enough now. So one way to explain that would be to be because Yish is not really the process. The fact that it's lost is largely what makes it yours, and Yish is a Tanai. And then he makes the third. Basically, this porridge is too hot, it's too cold in the middle. This is the other extreme that everybody agrees. Everybody agrees that what makes a lost object become available or yours is the fact that it's lost. Just Abaye holds, but you know, you have to kind of be aware of it. It really is the process. Nobody holds Yish is central to the process, but Abaye holds Yish is important enough that it's got to be, it's got to have happened by the time you pick it up. So Rav Soloveitchik goes through a lot of different implications of this different way, these three ways of looking at it. But one of the things he says is that it seems that one could adduce evidence, one could somewhat prove that the last way of explaining it is correct. That the mere fact that it's lost is really what makes the item available, makes it ownerless to some degree, because we have instances where you're allowed to keep a lost object even though there is no Yish at all, and no presumption of Yish. Halach is avedas akum. If it's aved of a Gentile, you're allowed to keep it. Even you're not allowed to rob. Gezel akum is forbidden. So, if the item has not left his possession, and if Yish is the process that makes it lose its possession, how exactly am I allowed to take it without Yish? And if I'm not allowed to steal from him, so. But if the way you explain it is no, the fact that it's lost makes it available, and then he wanted to say like this: the real way it works is the fact that it's lost makes it ownerless. The mitzvah to return it hinders that process, puts it back. So if you deal with a demographic where I don't have the mitzvah to return it, so then the fact that it's over, the fact that it's lost alone suffices. So then the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda is what puts it back. So when I have a mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, now I can't keep it. And then the Yish sort of nixes the mitzvah Shabbos Aveda. So that would make it all make sense. That's why Aveda's Akum is permissible. Also, Aveda's Pachas Mishav Pruta you're allowed to keep, even though there's no assumption of Yish. The answer is because those are cases where there's no mitzvah. But then when there is a mitzvah, then you need the Yish to make it permissible. I mention all of this because if you explain it that way, it's very understandable why Tosfos says that it's the fact that you have a mitzvah, once you pick it up, the fact that you have a mitzvah blocks the Yish from working. If the mitzvah is the very issue at hand, so then it makes sense. So if you pick it up and you already have the mitzvah, that makes it the Yish can't take effect. So Rav Soloveitchik's insight here makes the Tosfos' approach to this more understandable. I wanted to jump over to the Ramban.
Sorry, what's the distinction between hefker and yiddish? Not in terms of like what the words mean, but in terms of the process. I mean, are we saying that yiddish is essentially working like hefker? Or is hefker a kind of, is it like a shevel tasa where yiddish just happens, but hefker you have to do?
Hefker, it left the possession of the owner. The way some explain Yish, especially in Shitas Tosfos, is it's like you open the owner's hand. It is now permissible for you to take it from the owner, but barring anything happening, it actually remains by him, quote-unquote. Mm-hmm. Rav Soloveitchik somehow made this dependent on his Chakira, and to be honest, I didn't understand how A implied B. So what I just told you before, he made it have implications in what you're discussing also, and I didn't quite follow the logic of it. But that's a discussion. Hefker, when you take something from Hefker, you're not taking it from the owner. It's already left the previous owner. The way many explain Yish is it's a matir. It permits you to take it from the previous owner. It's like he opened his hand, but it hasn't left him yet. And there are hashlachot of that. Now, you'll recall the Ramban was the other opinion.
If Yish is a tznai, then Yish probably isn't Hefker. Because then the hefker is what takes it out of the rishos.
If yish is just a tanai,
then it probably wouldn't work like hefker because that's the maisa that removes it from the rishos.
But okay, so I think that's how he set it up.
Yes, yeah. But if yish is more like fundamental, then it could, then that would be saying yish is hefker because that's kind of the process.
Yeah, I think that's how he set it up. So, yeah. Okay.
I was thinking a few minutes earlier that you know the mind relates to that. Of course, then you're getting into the Rishonim are arguing about the same thing, but then you're getting into the Rishonim are arguing about the same thing that there are the Amorim are arguing
right.
about.
Right. Okay. Now the Ramban is the other opinion, and lest you think that this Ramban is not central to this discussion, I jumped to a Ramban on Chof Vavim and Beis in my first year. It's the first halach in Shulchan Aruch. Is this. Okay, so just to recount that sugya, it's very central to all of these discussions, and that is, we have this Gemara, just to review, that says if you saw that somebody dropped something and you picked it up not intending to return it, but in order to steal it, and then you waited till he was miyayish, and now you all of a sudden you want to do tshuva, I want to be a good guy, you know, I really shouldn't be stealing things, and now I give it back. So the words in our Gemara, as we have it, and the way the Gaon and most of the early sources seem to have had it, is Matana ba'al mahuda ka yohev lei. You're just giving him a gift. The Yisur da'avad abba. Then what you did, you did. Tosfos says it doesn't mean that literally. You see, the Gemara said you did three averis. When you see a metzia and you don't pick it up to return it, you're doing the avera of looking away from a lost object. Lasucha lasale. You also had a mitzvah to return the lost object. You also have a prohibition to steal. You violated all three mitzvahs. That's what the Gemara says. And then the Gemara says, and if you wait till he's miyayish, you wait till he gives up and you try to give it back, you didn't fix anything. You gave him a gift, very nice, but you didn't fix anything. It tells us that it can't be literal. You did fix the gzela. You did do the mitzvah returning it. What you didn't fix is at the moment when you saw it, that's when you're not supposed to look away. You're not supposed to ignore the mitzvah, and you ignored it. You picked it up to steal instead of to return. So according to Tosfos, it's really a stretch in reading the Gemara. But the Ramban insists, no, the Gemara means it literally. The Gemara means that in that case, you can't fix it. See, it's very interesting. In Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Tosfos. It's the first halacha of Rishon and Tess. V'imnotla manas l'gozla. If you picked it, there's a lost object, you picked it up to steal it, not to do the mitzvah. V'adayin lo nes Yashua ba'al mimena. And the owner, at the time when you picked it up, he hadn't given up yet. Over mishum hashiv teshiva melachicha u'mishum lo sigzol mishum lo sucha lo salam. He did all three averes. He violated all three mitzvahs. V'afilu m'yachzirena acher kach. And even if you return it later, kvar ova, I'm sorry, he's talking about you give it back before he was miyash. I'm sorry. Kvar avar lo sucha l'sale. If you give it back later, you violated one. He doesn't say you violated all three. He's going like Tosos. What's striking here, and the Shach takes issue with this, if you know the Shulchan Aruch's methodology in Psak, this is a surprise. Because it's not only the Ramban who reads the Gemara literally, it's in the Rambam also. If you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Aveda, the Rambam says, you violated the prohibitions. You gave him a matana because you already violated the prohibitions, plural. The Rambam clearly holds like the Ramban. And the way the Shach puts it is, and the Rif holds like the Ramban as well. If you know, if you read the introduction of the Beis Yosef, he has a simple methodology in determining halacha. He says, who am I to decide among the great Rishonim who's right and who's wrong? Therefore, I follow the following rule. And you have the Rif and the Rambam and the Rush, whatever you have two out of three, that whatever they hold, that's the halach. And then he has a backup. What if one of them doesn't comment? He goes to other Rishonim. But of those big three, the Rif, Rambam, and Rush, two out of three carries the day. So the Shach is basically raising the issue. He says, well, I have the Rif and the Rambam here. So the Shulchan Aruch is going with Tosfos, and actually the Rush does hold like Tosfos, but what about the Rif and the Rambam? And you should know that it is an absolute rule in Shulchan Aruch. There was once at a shir where somebody, a very learned person, was giving a shir and he read something from Shulchan Aruch, and somebody quoted a contemporary Godel had said, no, the Shulchan Aruch didn't have the Tshuvas HaRosh, but had he had it, he would have passed it differently. And the Rosh Shiva was going to shir, got very angry. He said, that's not a big to a halacha. You have to think it through. It's not correct, because the Shulchan Aruch actually does follow that rule, absolutely. It means that it's an absolute rule. So two out of three should win. But I think the answer could be as follows. When he says the Rif also paskens this way, all the Rif does is quotes the Gemara. What the Rif says is, and the Gemara is, we have it. And if you gave it back afterwards, you just gave him a gift. And the violations you did, you did. So I think if you asked the Ramban, he would say, that means what I'm saying. And in fact, the Ramban is insisting. He said, this is the correct girsa, which means what I'm saying. But Tosfos has the same girsa also. I mean, if you look at Tosfos on Chavav and Mabez, Matana ba'almahu de Yoyevle. It's the bottom Tosfos. Matana ba'almahu de Yoyevle. Tosfos is willing to have those words. It's just a gift. And still to insist, yeah, but you did fix two out of the three averas. So once you have Tosfos is willing to reconcile that girsa with their shita, you probably could. One, if somebody was very stubborn, they could insist that the Rif also holds the way. I have a feeling that's what happened here. The Shulchan Aruch felt that the Rif's shita is not conclusive because he just repeats the words of the Gemara. I mean, it seems like a big dochek to me. If the Rif doesn't clarify, if I say to you, you did the averus and you're just giving him a gift, it seems difficult to suggest. If you don't qualify that and say, well, what it means is, it would seem that the Rif holds like the Rambam, but I suppose the Shulchan Aruch didn't pass in that way because he held it's possible to reconcile that with Tosfos. But it's a very significant point l'halacha. In fact, it's interesting to me as a side note that the way they phrase it is, if you gave it back, did you fix the averus? Let's talk l'halacha. Let's not talk about your checks and X's and Shemayim. Do you have to give it back? It's the same question, I believe. Mm-hmm. I picked up something to steal it. According to Tosfos, and then the guy gave up. I saw an Aveda, it was the wrong thing to do. I picked it up meaning to keep it for myself. Then I felt bad about it, but I waited a couple weeks, and now he's already given up hope of ever finding it. According to Tosfos, I still have the mitzvah of Heshev HaSagzela. Give it back. I still have the mitzvah of Hoshev Teshivim. Return the lost object. According to the Ramban, this is a rare scenario where you actually don't. You don't have any mitzvah here. If you give it back, you're giving him a gift. Guess what? You don't have an obligation to give gifts in life. according to Ramban, it would be a rare scenario where you actually don't have the mitzvah. So it's relevant to halacha. The shach who's saying the Shulchan Aruch should have passed in the other way is really saying you don't have to give it back.
But he's not miyayish at the time you pick it up.
Pays miyayish subsequently. So why does that work? Okay, so let me go back through that. So there's two processes here. The Ramban holds that there are two different bisura asaliyades. Again, we have this rule that once you pick it up, yish doesn't work subsequently. Mm-hmm. According to the Ramban, that means one thing with regard to a lost object. It means a different thing with regard to a stolen object. So it's like this. With regard to a lost object, the Ramban says in Melchamas and Chidushim, somebody lost something. Once I pick it up, I am his shomer. I'm working for him. The Gemara later on the Chav tests is two opinions whether when you're working to return a lost object or you're a shomer chinam or a shomer sacher. We pass on your shomer sacher. You're a shomer. Once you pick up a lost object to return it, you are the shomer of the original owner, and yish doesn't work when it's in the hands of a shomer. Like you're working for him, yish doesn't work. But the Ramban says, but that's when you picked it up to return it. If you picked it up to steal it, you're not a shomer. You're the opposite of a shomer. You're the worst guy to be holding the thing for this guy because you're stealing from him. So the Ramban says, in the case where you picked up an aveda in order to steal it, so you're not working for the owner, so subsequent yish does work. Oh, great. It's terrific. Subsequent yish does work, and therefore you don't have to give it back. The problem is that if you think about it, this scenario here is two things. He lost something. Mm-hmm. I also stole it. Mm-hmm. So it's an aveda, but it's also a gzela. So the Ramban is saying, well, when it comes to the lost object, if I pick it up not meaning to be his shomer, so good, so subsequent yish works. That's great. But the problem is my relationship with this object, and for that matter with the owner of the object, is also that I'm a thief. Mm-hmm. So what the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, that yish, after you steal something, doesn't work. So don't I have obligations to this guy because I stole from him also? And in terms of those obligations, the yish doesn't work. So why don't we say there's a dual relationship here, and the yish only helps in one aspect, but it doesn't help. There's two reasons why I have to give this thing back to the guy. One is because he lost it, the other is because I stole it from him. And in that relationship, it shouldn't work. So that's a question that the Achronim address. So it's interesting. Shimon Shkab.
You're giving him this like gift.
Well, that's the Gemara's way of saying you have no obligations.
You still have obligations to return the stolen object.
So the Ramban is saying you don't.
You don't.
Right, so even if you split it, you still have an obligation on one side.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so you can get rid of one.
Split it.
You still have the obligation on the other side. Meaning, even if you say, we're going to look at it in components of Aveda and components of Zela, but at the same time, you're not going to get rid of all three, according to, right?
It seems very surprising.
That the Rambam would say you get rid of all three, because normally you would say, Tosfos says you get rid of two out of three, the Ramban should say you get rid of two out of three also. Right?
He says all three.
So yeah. He splits it, right? Because if the scenario wasn't an aveda and it was just gazela, right?
Then
or
for
by
sure
the
it
person, would still have the issues.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the Ramban has this great phrase that it ends up adopting the leniencies of both, but he doesn't really explain
why. You get them both.
Yeah. So Rav Shimon Shkop, who discusses this in a couple places in his Chidushim, he talks about this, but he's really addressing a different point. I'll just read a little bit. Uvedin, I should make copies maybe, but Uvedin Hasheni Shemavur B'Divrei Ramban. Degamim Neschayev Meikar B'Chol Tashlumim K'Chol Gazlon Mikol Makom M'Zocha Achakach Mitam Aveda Nifku Chiyuvim D'Meikar. So he's bothered by something else. Yeah, I stole this object. When you steal something, you have to give back the thing. I just stole your watch. I have to give you back the watch. Is also halacha that if for whatever reason I can't get back the watch, I owe the value of the watch. Mm-hmm. So I owe you the watch, or I owe you $100, but there's a chiyuv tashlumim. So how can that be erased. An object, there can be yush on an object, but he said, how does the chi of tashlum get erased? So he says, Nira lanias daiti, the sphere the cave and the ikr chiyuva shal gazlan, hu lahashiv hagzela atma. So Shimon said the following lumdus. He says, your obligation to pay for something really stems from your obligation to give back the thing. We shouldn't view it as two things. One way to think about it is, as soon as you steal, you have to give the object back, you have to give the value of the object back. You have like two obligations, just one covers the other. He says, that's not the way to think about it. What you have is an obligation to give the thing back. You stole something, give back that thing. Just if it's lost, if it's changed so qualitatively, it's as if you don't have it anymore. That's where the obligation of paying for its value kicks in. But basically, the way to view it is what you owe is the thing. You stole the thing, give back the thing. I mean, you can see where he's going with this. But therefore, the obligation to pay for it is dependent on the obligation to return it. So long as there's an obligation to give back the thing, well, then if you can't, you have the obligation to pay for the value of the thing. So let's say I stole something and I lost it. I stole something and now I can't find it anymore. It got destroyed. So do I still have the obligation to give back the original thing? Yes. I can't do it, so I pay the value instead. It's not around. But if somehow the thing still exists, but I somehow became exempted from returning it. If we could come up with a scenario where I don't have the obligation to give the original thing, us potter gam midamim. The obligation to give the value stems from the obligation to give the original thing. So where he's going with this, obviously, is if somehow we can interpret that, you have a scenario where you no longer have the obligation to give the original thing. There was an Aveda. Guy lost his thing. He lost his thing, and I would have been obligated to return it. But when Yish kicks in, so I'm not obligated to give back the thing. So don't tell me, yeah, but you're already obligated to pay for it. That obligation to pay for it only kicks in so far as I have the original obligation. That's the way Reb Shimon is explaining it. It's still a little hard to understand. The Reb Meir Simcha says as follows, talk about that same Ramban. Okay. So as follows, when my actions caused your yish, so then your yish can't serve to my advantage. Why have you given up hope of ever finding your watch? Because I broke into your house last week and stole it. So then subsequent yish is not going to make me gain. But in the case of an aveda, you had already lost your watch. I didn't steal it initially. The way it became lost from you is you dropped it. You're walking down the street and you dropped it. I happen to have still had a mitzvah to return it to you, so when I pick it up intending not to do that, I am stealing. But your yish is not a result of my actions. So Rav Meir Simcha wants to maintain, in a regular case of gzela, I stole and that caused your yish, I can't gain from the yish. But in a case where it was lost anyway, so he holds that's why in this scenario, since the yish was a result of the fact that you lost it, the yish wasn't a result of the fact that I stole it, so he holds the yish can work even on the gzela aspect. Still, you could think about it in different ways, but that's the way Rav Meir Simcha explains this Ramban. What I wanted to talk about for a few minutes is a machlokas ktsos and nesivos. What would the study of Metzia be without a little bit of ktsos achosh and nesivos and mishpat, who are the ultimately can be called the fathers of modern day lumdus? On the page in Shulchan Aruch, we have the ktsos achosh and nesivos and mishpat. Bar Hillel Heller, I think, and Rabbi Yaakov of Lisa, two of the great poskim who really start to unpack the underlying svaras and the sort of the way we tend to think in the yeshiva style of learning today. So the Ketos HaChoshen talks about this Ramban. So again, the Ramban holds that when I picked up the Aveda, I picked up a lost object to return it, in the regular case where I'm a good boy, I mean to return it. That's why subsequent Yish doesn't work, is because I'm working for you. So the Ketos says, what that sounds like is Yish Bershus doesn't work. However, exactly we'll explain it in Rav Soloveitchik's Chakir, exactly what role Yish plays, however you want to explain it, but Yish doesn't work when it's still in your possession. I'll never find my tape recorder, and it's sitting right there on my desk, I just forgot where it was. That doesn't do anything. That doesn't make, it has to be, you know, out of your rishus, but Yish b'rishus, Yish in your possession doesn't work. And that's why when somebody picks it up and he's working for you, it's like it's in your possession. That's the chiddush of this. So that's the Ketos says that's the way you would think to understand the Ramban, but he has a problem with it. He says we have cases in the Gemara that sound like they can't be reconciled with that. So for example, as we'll get into the upcoming proofs in this whole discussion of Yush and Yush Alamidas, so at the bottom of Chafal from Beis, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but it talks about if a person had figs that were drying, or a ta'ina hanota l'derech. It's like 8-10 lines from the bottom. This is one of the attempted proofs in this discussion. But a ta'ina hanota l'derech. You have a fig tree that's leaning toward the road. Umatza ta'inim tachteha, and you find figs under it. So the Gemara ultimately says that he's miyayish because as soon as they fall off, they get ruined, and therefore the owner gives up immediately. So the Ketos says that's on his property. They're falling on his property, and the Gemara maintains that Yish works. So you see that Yish works even when it's in your possession. So don't tell me the reason why Yish doesn't work when somebody picked it up to do the mitzvahs, because it's called Yish Bershus. Yish Bershus works. I can give up hope even though it's still within my domain, and that still is considered Yish.
That's very different,
though. Huh?
That's very different.
I would think it's even better. Why do you say?
No, because there, it doesn't make a difference that it's in your rishus because it's getting destroyed anyway because people are walking on it. That's why you're miyayish. Mm-hmm. As opposed to whether you're miyayish because you're not going to get it back. The fact that it's in your rishus, you can't say I'm not going to get it back. That's why your rishus doesn't work. The fact that it's getting destroyed, that'll even work in your rishus because it is, in fact, getting destroyed in your rishus.
But it's a reason why he's miyayish. Not just a reason why he, you know, is not excited about his fig. He's miyayish. He's giving up on them.
Because they're going to be destroyed.
Right.
So why should the fact that they're in his rishus make any difference then? That he's giving up because they're going to be destroyed. As opposed to the guy who's giving up because he feels he'll never get it back. It doesn't make sense to say he'll never get it back. He already has it back. That's why the issue doesn't work there.
Okay.
Because
the issue is something about the nature of the object being ruined.
It's two very different things.
This is a stronger issue. Okay.
If you say the guy is a shomer when he picks it up, right, according to the Svaras, then how does he would never be miyash? Does it always be Bereshus? If we hold that Yish Bereshus is not Yish,
right? So that's why the only way you're entitled to it is if you found it after he was
so.
Miyash.
But isn't Rebbe who says that Yishum Das is Yish?
Yeah, because somehow he learns
so
it before.
Yeah, so how would the Ketos reconcile that understanding? Because the second the guy picks it up, it's still in his rishus, because the person who finds the avedis is shomer, so right. Never left his rishus.
So somehow, according to Rav, it's as if the yish happened before.
Retroactive.
Yeah. Whether it's really retroactive or it's, you know, some kind of halachic assumption. Or,
where is the time when it happens? Between the time of it falling and him picking and the guy picking it up?
When it fell. When he dropped it, even though he's unaware, since had he been aware, he'd be miyayish. It's as if he was already miyayish. I mean, it's a hard svar to wrap our heads around, but I'll come back to it at the end. But that's the Ketos's first question. The truth is, it's not so clear in the Gemara that it fell on his property. Mm-hmm. You can understand that it fell not on his property.
Right.
He also asks, from the fact earlier on that Amud, you have a guy dropped money in a base knesses. So the ktos maintains the base knesses is communal property. Of course, a gemara like that. So it's in his rishus. Right there, some people won't wear a shul talus because they're not sure if you're supposed to make a bracha or not. We have a halacha that if I borrow your talus, I don't make a bracha. On my talus, I do make a bracha. Some people don't have to start being machmir on this because I mentioned it, but I know people who will only borrow someone else's talus. They won't take a shul talus because it's a suffix. Maybe if he's machmir, he won't pay his dues. But basically, it's communal property, so maybe it is mine, so maybe I should make a bracha. But the same idea, like the shul, it's a communal place, so it's, so he says there too, so how is a Yush working when he drops money in the Beis Knesset? Because of that, there's a bunch of other questions, he comes with this different way of explaining the Ramban, the Ksos HaChoshen, wants to say that it doesn't mean what it sounds like. What the Ramban really means is, since you picked it up, you the finder picked it up, you're the Bialim. Now we need your Yush. It's not that the problem is his, when the owner is Miyayesh, and it's in your hand, it's like it's in his property, because it could still be in your property. What we really mean is, there's another person here now. You, as the finder, you're the shomer, we need your yish. His yish is insufficient. That's what the Ktos wants to maintain. The Nesivus responds and says, no, the Ktos' questions can be answered.
Wait, his yish for what?
I don't know what the finder's yish would mean, but it's in someone else who's representing the owner. Now you need his yish. That's what he's saying.
His unlike yish, that the owner would be miyayish.
I don't even know
that's what.
That's
what I'm trying to understand. Or his yish that he would never have a chance. He would never find the owner to give it back to him.
No.
It can't be because that's the maskana of the gemara, right? That he brings it back. It's just a matana. So he for sure he has to be. What is the guy who's picking it up being miyayish about?
I don't know. I don't know how you're miyayish on something you just picked up. But the point is, there's another human being here who's now a player. He's now an employee, and he's not miyayish. And his yado kiyad bailim. His hand is like the owner's hand, and therefore the owner's yish is insufficient. And we're not going to get yish from the finder, so we don't have yish here. That's how the Ktos seems to understand it.
Does he just not
understand
that the shomer is
really the boss? I'll read to the Ktosh. Yish works even in your own rishus. Okay, as long as not one of the cases that Ramon Shulchan Aruch later talks about, in more cases, your chatzer and zocha. Ella, the kosfu lahoshi yodo kiyada bailam, b'shomer shamu hilkach, ena niklas bi yish, ho al viyeshna b'shus habailam. Hainu, the kevan de hashomer ena miyayash, since the shomer doesn't give up, sherehu tachas yodo viyodo kiyad bailam, imkein yish de bailam lo mahani. The real owner no longer has enough domain here. It doesn't have enough power here to be miyayish. That's about all he says,
because
really.
He picked up on his behalf.
Yeah.
Not lost.
It's not lost. It's not the difference lost. Between the finder and my field or my house is the finder is a person, and you need his yish because he's working for him. That's the way it's so
simple. Right, so here's the thing that the shomer is essentially an extension of the law.
He's a human extension.
How we view shomer, right, is different in different ways, right? We either view it as that it's just literal extension of the original owner, or we view that the shomer himself has some independence,
right?
In some
gets into
degree.
The third parak, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? So this would imply that.
Right.
That he has to have some level of independence. Because if he was just viewed as a pure extension, then whether he was miyash or not would be immaterial, theoretically, right?
Right. Yeah. You could get into how he's viewing Shmira and other things. The Sivus doesn't like it.
Well, wait a second, but according to Ksos, if the guy would actually lose something in his own property, and would Yish work in his own property?
Yeah. He's saying that's what happened. That's what's happening in the Beis Knesset. That's what's happening in the case of Ta'ina.
Does that really make sense? You lose something in your house and you're Miyashit, and someone else comes and picks it up, it's okay because you're Miyashit?
Let me show you another one. The Nesivus gives us another. This is a discussion of Chavav Mar Aleph. A guy has different people who live in his house, and you find something in the wall. Who do you assume it belonged to? So if you look, there's a Tosus there in, right in the middle of the page, and Chavav Mar Aleph, Nazel Basar Basra. Why don't you go by the last person who was there? Which Tosus says means the owner of the house. He lived there with these other people who are renting from him. So at the end of the Tosus says, "Kaven she'en nikarim." The ein bala bias misyayish masha mafsid beveso kasavur sheim tziyeno hayom olamacha kaven she'en nacharim imo darim beveso. A person tends not to be miyayish what he lost in his house because he thinks he'll find it. A person tends not to be miyayish about the things he lost in his house because he assumes he'll find it. What can you infer? But if he didn't have that confidence, yish would work even in his own house. Mm-hmm. So Nesivus points to this. So the truth is, it seems to be a machlokas rishonim. The biggest proof... Can I copy this page? It's right here. The biggest proof against the Ktosis Taina, Bizakman Taina, English?
Claim,
thank you. Thank you, counsel. The biggest proof against it is actually there's a Ramban that's explicit, not like what the Ktosis says. Also talking about that sugi where something is found in the wall. The Ramban on Chof Hei Amid Beis writes as follows. Let's see. Mi mechetzio l'chut shalosh echem b'nei rishis rami nichu v'nisyayish. Avo mechetzio u'lefnim. If you find in there's the thickness of the wall, and this item was found on the inner half, the half that's toward the inside. Shel bal habayis belongs to the owner. Afshenis yayish, even though he gave up, he couldn't find it. He gave up. Ani omer habalam hinichuhu v'chatzero konolo shel yotzer mishuso. She'ein yiyush mafkiya mamon balabayas shebershuso v'ze'ikr. Yiyush does not take away money of a balabayas that's in his rishus. So the Ramban says clearly what we thought the Ramban holds clearly, which is yiyush rishus doesn't work. And that sugi, he spells it out. Ein yiyush mafkiya mamon balabayas shebershuso. Which is what you were saying. How could it be something that's in your own house? Yish makes it not yours. It seems pretty clear. It's a machlokas rishonim. So the Ramban here is consistent with what the Ramban is saying in our sugya, in the Melchamas, which is what we're quoting, which sounds, what the Ktos said not to say, it sounds like it really is the explanation of the Ramban. If you look at the Rashba, which is marked, eventually the whole Sefer is just going to be posted for us. Sometimes I need one, and I say, can I take it from here? Oh, no, that's such a good point. Okay, it becomes useless after a while. But anyway.
Just wanted to get you some more
post-it notes. Yeah, I buy stock at Staples, I'm telling you. Anyway, so that Gemara that the Ketzos quoted, the Taina, the fig tree, he said he's Miyayish, even though it's on his property. Listen to the Rashba on that. So when the Gemara says, well, as soon as it falls, it gets disgusting. Why did the Braisa give a case where the fig tree is leaning over toward the road? Even within his garden. So it sounds like we're assuming it's falling outside the garden, which might make you think one thing. No, the answer is, since he knows that when it falls it's going to become disgusting, he's miyayish. Somebody, because he says whoever finds it's not going to return it. Even though the Gemara there has a rule that when you look at a fig, you can tell which tree it came from. They kind of are identifiable. But people ignore that and they say, yeah, the owner gave up. But when it falls within his own property, within his own garden, he doesn't give up because he says to himself, who's coming there? I'm not going to lose it because no one's coming onto my property anyway. But again, indicating, but
he work.
If he would feel differently, Yush would work. What the Rashba doesn't say is, well, Yush on your property doesn't work anyway. The Rashba is saying he tends not to be Miyayish when it's on his property because he figures no one's going to come there. So that's pretty clear. Basically, it's a machlokas rishonim. Does Yush work when it's on your property? So the issue that the Ketzos is grappling with really, I believe, is a machlokas rishonim. But the Ramban himself does seem to hold Yush Pershus doesn't work, which would make the Ramban fit perfectly with the way he explains the issue of Bisura Asliyadeh. As for his question, what about these sugas that sound not like that? The Nesivos distinguishes between when it's well guarded or not well guarded. Yish in your Rishus, when it's well guarded, doesn't work. When it's susceptible to being taken, and that's the way he distinguishes between the cases. So it says
the courtyard, I mean, the Chatzar acquires it, and it's not the Chatzar.
Yeah. Yeah, he works with the same parameters of where a Chatzar is coming, I believe. Yes, yeah.
Why does that matter? Why does the fact that somebody can take it affect his Yish?
Amnam dafka kishumunach b'makom she'ena mishtamer d'avei kehefke l'chol over rishov mikri aveda shekvar yotzer mershusum hani b'yish. When it's not mishtamer, that's when it's like hefker and it's open to any passers-by, and that's where yish works. Avo kishib b'makom ha-mishtamer mikri b'rshuso v'lo mahani b'ha-yish. The farmer is not just on his property, but like guarded in his property. I don't know.
Why does that fact on the ground change the years? Meaning, he should assume, right, that if the figs fall off the tree and somebody picks them up, they'll return to them because they're his figs. Right. So the fact that someone could be, right, whereas in the middle of the garden, no one's going to be there, right, so no one's going to take it, but it shouldn't matter because the assumption should be that if they fall off, someone will return them. When you're miyayish, you're like, well, it's impossible, they're never going to find
it. If yish is part of the process of something being hopelessly lost, so it can depend not so much on whether it's on my property per se or not, but how hopeless it is, how...
realistic it is that?
Huh?
How realistic it is going to actually come out.
Yeah, it's,
yeah, but
it's not a technical definition.
I don't understand that aspect of it. I don't understand what that distinction is.
If you'll understand that yish is what makes something hopelessly lost, forlorn.
Correct. Yish. But why should his assumption be that no one's bringing it back? I mean, shouldn't the assumption be that there's an assumption people are going to bring it back?
I mean, the Rishonim go through in a lot of these cases what the person's psychology is. Frankly, there's a number of tosen like that. The okimtas are a little strange, but that's what they seem to assume. Let me just conclude with one other thing that also is related. There's a famous question here. You get to the Sugya of Yishalom Midas, the Shita Mikubetzis quotes the Ravid, which I think I marked, maybe not. Shita Mikubetzis quotes the Ravid, who says, I don't understand how there's a machlokas between Abaye and Rava about whether Yishalom Midas is Yish or not. Yeah, Kosev arrived in Zel Shana, quoted in the Shita Mikvetzes, Hach plukta da bayav arava b'yir shlomi das koshali. I don't understand it. De shaychale breira v'ein breira. It's directly related to the old Shas concept of breira ain breira. Breira is retroactive clarification. De liflagi ba'alma. Let this be the general machlokas. Why are the bayav and rava arguing about yir shlomi das? There's a general discussion in Shas in a few places where when you made a decision, initially it wasn't clear what your intent was or what your feeling was, and later you went one way or other, you decided A or B. So retroactively, is it considered as if you'd already decided A, you know, and you decided later. It should be that discussion. Whatever the machlokas is, it should be the same thing here. And then he says, Ela sheyesh lemeivin lahafligo me'inyan breira. But a person who's a maven can yeah. And that's why he doesn't say more.
Right.
So it's funny. it's one of the places where you can see the Rav Meir Simcha's sense of humor, because he quotes this, and then he says, "V'im ki lo zachina lebinas nevonim." Even though if that requires bina, I can't say I have bina. So he wants to answer. He says, "If you look in the Gemara in Erevin, case there with which way he's making his Erev Tchumen. Mm-hmm. So the case is, the Gemara is discussing, it's where he knows about something, but he hasn't decided which way to go. But there's a line there in the Gemara. I didn't just look at this. I think I'm getting this right, though. Amar Vashi, Hodi Uhu. You know, the Gemara asks, why wouldn't this be a case of prayer? And says, Hodi Uhu velo Hodi Uhu. He didn't even know about it. In other words, if I know about two possibilities and we're not sure which one I've decided on, there's Brera. I decide later, all right, that's as if I had decided from the outset that was my intention. But if I don't even know about something, it seems from that Gemara in Erevin, on Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph, that then there's no Brera. We don't apply Brera when you didn't even know about something. So here, it's not that I hadn't decided whether I should give up or not. I didn't know. I didn't know I dropped it. So he wants to say, so right off the bat, that's a reason why it's not the same machlokas as Breyer ain't Breyer. But the Maritz Chayas, Reb Tzvi Hirsch Chayas, can be found in the back of the Gemara, quotes this question also. V'hine lo bir ha-raivet ha-hevdel sheyesh ben zelebrera v'ani afarish. I'll tell you the answer. This is the first Maritz Chayas in Chaval from the Beis. And he really explains it on both sides. But one thing he says is, this is not, you made a decision later and we apply it earlier. In fact, I think he quotes it even. I think he quotes the Rizva. It happens to be, even if you're never Miyayish, the Ritva Yishanim says right away in the Sugya Miyayish, even if it happens to be you never are Miyayish, even if we happen to know in a particular case, you lost something that has no simon on it. And we interview you on Channel 7 News. And you say, I'm still looking. I'm here with someone who's been looking for his whatever for the last 40 years. We know he's not Miyayish. It doesn't matter. The Ritva Yishanim, the old Ritvas, which is not the Ritva. There's two Ritvas in Bava Metzia. The one that they quote is the Ritva. They discover later is not the Ritva. But for simplicity's sake, this is the old Ritva, and this is the new Ritva. So in the old Ritva, which is not the Ritva, it says, Pirish v'afilu lo nisyayish lebesof klal. Even if he's never miyayish. The cave in the lespo, simen ka'avudu mimeno mikol adam dummy. Since it has no simen, it's as if it's lost. It's as if it's hopelessly lost. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, Yish shalom midas, have a yish, is a way of saying, like, the halacha has an assumption. In a case where I didn't know which way I was going to be walking on Shabbos, and it ended up I needed to go this way, so you say at the beginning, it's as if I had that in mind. That's where I made a decision, and I only made the decision later, or it was only clear what my decision was later, and you apply, and you say, it's as if I made that decision from the beginning. That's brera, ain't brera, yesh brera. But, says the Maritz Chayas, when it comes to yish, it's not really that we're saying when he makes a decision later to give up, that's as if you gave up earlier. It's like a forced halachic assumption. That there's something in halacha where Chazal just said, this is the general mentality of people, and they don't really mean that you will definitely have that mentality, but they mean this is the operative, and it is that way whether it is that way or not.
Idem los in the seas, we know it's become half correct.
What's that?
Idem los in the sea, they say.
Right.
Nobody
could. Right.
The same kind of
right.
Concept.
So, interesting. Whether that is the same or not as Machlokas Rishonim. The Gemara says that something that is hopelessly lost from all people, not just the owner, but from all people, we learn from the words, Asher Tovad Mimanu, that's lost from him. You only have to return something that's lost from him. But if it's lost from him and everybody, you don't have to return it. So some Rishonim say, yeah, you don't have to return, but some say that's just Xeris HaKosov. We don't know why, but if it's not just the owner who lost it, but it's like hopelessly lost from everybody, you don't have to return. Others say, no, that is a case where everybody agrees to Yish. Mm. If you look in Rashi, when Rashi wants to give you the paradigm Yish, he says that case where the Torah tells you it's going to be washed away by a tidal wave, that is Yish. So that could be. It depends on how you learn that case. Mm. But anyway, but you're correct. That would be where the halacha makes an assumption.
Yeah.
According to the opinions, that's Yish. The halacha says, that is considered Yish. The guy's screaming, I'm not Miyayish. I'm going to get it back. It doesn't matter. The halacha works with an assumption. So the Maritz Chayas says, this is a halachic, an imposed halachic assumption. We have all kinds of umdenas and chazakas where whether you think that way or not, people think like this. And that's koveya the halacha. It approximates the way people think, but it doesn't mean every single last person thinks that way. So it's not a retroactive application of his own decision to earlier, it's an assumption, and that's the difference between Yesh Bo Siman and Ein Bo Siman. The Gemara says if it's something that has a siman on it, even though he's miyayish later, but we don't apply it. Why not? He gave up because it's not brera. It's not brera. It's a question of what the halachic assumption was.
Yeah. I think that you can clearly see the same thing from that first Tosfos in Kafalatim Beis, where he says later on you see he's miyayish. Tosfos says that's the kloy b'yamah.
Right.
So there was. It wasn't expected, therefore that's not considered.
Right, so why should that matter? The answer is because we're talking about...
It's not prayer. I think the Tosfos himself actually is saying right. It's not an issue of prayer there.
Right. In fact, to me, the fact that the Ravid is asking the question might indicate that he doesn't hold like this, because the answer seems so obvious. Why isn't this the same thing as prayer? Because it's not do with prayer. Prayer is you made a decision later, and then we assume, you know, we say that was your mindset from the beginning. Here, the Chazal imposed a halachic assumption based on what the majority of people feel. Therefore, it's as if you feel this way whether you do or not. That's not prayer anyway. Those who ask the question, to me, it might even be an indication that they didn't understand it this way. Maybe they would disagree with this Ritva, who says even if we know later on that he's not miyayish, it's still the yish, shalom yidas, have a yish, according to Rava. Okay. Like fakir, to the contrary, the fact that you could ask such a question might indicate that you take his ultimate decision in Yish more seriously. But if you don't take it that seriously, I don't see the. So I don't know if you need binas nevonim to distinguish between one and the other.
So what mechanism Rava then takes if it's not.
So then maybe it is something closer to Yish. Not 100% like it, but something closer to Brera. Maybe it is closer to Brera. If you're asking the question and you need to be very wise to see the difference, then maybe it really is. What he feels later is as if he felt from the beginning. Like I was saying before from Rasalovich, it's a Tanai. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a Tanai you can fulfill later. If it's the very thing you need to do, you have to do it on time. But if it's a side point, so maybe he does have to give up. But the fact that he'll give up later is okay, because mainly the fact that it's lost is what makes it. Mm-hmm. All right, anyway.
How did Rav and Abai come out in prayer, if you think it's
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Cause then
did they opine?
I don't know. No, I don't remember. I mean, there's multiple times, right? For various products.
Yeah.
If it would be interesting to know what if they have opinions on prayer, and then would the sheet just follow?
Yeah, I don't know if there's anybody who gets into that. Yeah, Rasalovichik said that prayer is only when you do a maisa. You can do this. There's a case in the Kedushin, Mamakadish, Ishan, so it's where you do an action, and we have to determine... Mm-hmm. Like what your mindset is in that action. But here you're not, a guy's walking down the street, doesn't even realize he dropped his watch. And he says that you don't find Brera applying to such a thing. Brera is like applying the das to a mice. It doesn't apply in this kind of case anyway. So there are other distinctions too. All right, Belina, the next time we'll do some Gemara. But I thought that was a important discussion.